Welcome again. I'm Oz, as has been shared, one of the leaders here, and it's great to move into the second week of our new series. We just started last week by Eric speaking from Luke chapter 4, looking at this theme of following Jesus. So our series up till Easter pretty much is following Jesus, and we'll work our way through Luke's gospel, seeing what Jesus calls us to do, how to live, how to relate to him and others. For those that call themselves disciples. So it's great if you're a Christian, because as we get to look at what Jesus asks of us, but also for those that might be exploring and asking questions about faith, as to help understand what might be involved in following Jesus. So we'll move into our second week now and look at the other half of chapter 4. But as I was preparing this, I was very aware that Jesus has before him a huge mission, a great task. And I wonder, as we start this new year, what is the big task that is ahead for you? Maybe there's not a great big mission or task, but there might be a project, a deadline, a wedding coming up. There might be a birth of a new child. Just this morning, Beth Wells gave birth to their fourth, so great news there. I can't quite remember the name, so I won't share it, but find out from someone afterwards. It's a boy. It's a boy. Nesta. That's why I couldn't remember whether it was a boy or a girl. Thanks, James. So as we look at that, I've got a big challenge coming up. I'll just move forward on the slides. Hopefully this is going to work. Okay, just not. Thanks, Rob. And it's this t-shirt's got the logo as well, Wheels for Wheels. So in about 4 weeks' time, I'll probably be standing here looking a lot tireder, exhausted after this fundraising task that I have ahead of myself. So a close friend of mine from a number of years back has asked me and two others, including himself, to raise money for a 4x4 Jeep, which he needs when he moves out to Tanzania to be involved in local kind of mission projects. And he thought, how could I raise funds for a new 4x4 Jeep? I know what I could do. Is I could get my friends and we could do this 10-mile hike in the Peak District, but not just a regular hike, a hike with each person carrying one of the 4x4 tyres. So I've got to get myself into shape to carry a 20-kilogram tyre up and down a mountain in the Peak District with a few other guys. So I'm already thinking, right, I'm not going to be able to just use my arms. I'm definitely not big and strong enough for that. I'm going to have to do a few bicep curls and get myself into some sort of shape. But there must be some effective strategy we can use with some, I don't know, pulley system to hike this thing up and down. I don't know whether that's in the rules or not. So any suggestions, welcome. Please tell me your best tip into how to get the thing up. Down isn't going to be an issue. We can roll them, I'm sure. But how are we going to get them up what is quite a steep incline? And that's the mission, the challenge that I have ahead of me in the coming weeks. But what kind of mission or task do you have ahead this week, next week, through the year? What is it that is on your mind and in your heart to do, to accomplish, to achieve? Maybe it's something fairly ordinary, and that in itself is a challenge. But we have different challenges. And Jesus, as we come to chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, has a task. And it's wrapped up in this word mission. And often when we talk as Christians, or as we maybe hear about this word that Christians use, we get a bit confused. It's got positive and negative connotations. But one of the problems with this word mission is that it is a big task that's before us as God's church. Often we might think that mission is just for the chosen few, the people that head out to Tanzania, the people that work in cross-cultural settings. Or maybe just those people that have, as their paid employment, working in a Christian context. Maybe also we think of mission as something that's just this daunting task that somehow God wants his church to achieve. How on earth is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, going to go out to everyone and all those that God will call to him? How's that going to happen? There are so many, 3,000 people groups that are still unreached, that haven't heard of who Jesus is. How on earth are we at Barton, how are the churches up and down the country in the UK and across the world going to achieve that? Maybe there's a lack of urgency, and that's a problem for us this morning. Maybe we're thinking, well, actually, we can do our bit, and we'll just do what we can. But really, we don't have the heart of God within us that says, come on, go out and tell the good news. Go on and be inspired to share our faith. Maybe we're just feeling a lack of urgency, and we've got a bit comfortable and a bit lazy and a bit apathetic. That's a big challenge for the church in the West, isn't it? To fight that feeling away. And maybe there's also a fear of rejection. And maybe there's a fear of, even if we do it, that we'll be rejected. That people won't be interested. That they'll say, all right, that's fine for you, but I'm going to live my life. And maybe we've experienced that. Maybe we've recently had a conversation, or we've tried to launch some new charity, or we've been involved in something. We just feel like people aren't interested. And there's rejection. Now, in other parts of the world, there's very much in-your-face rejection. There's persecution, there's suffering and hardship that Christians endure at quite an extreme level. But for us, maybe it's just that social awkwardness. Whatever our problem is with mission, we're going to see that we can't just use that as an excuse, and that even Jesus had a great task before him. So how does Jesus handle the mission set before him, given by his Father, to go and be the saviour of the world, to go and speak and bring about the kingdom of God on earth? How does he go about that task? And how can we actually learn from him and follow him effectively? Hopefully we'll see some answers to those questions. Let's read the section of Luke's gospel now. It's up on the screen. But if you've got a Bible, Luke chapter 4, and from verse 14 through to verse 30. This is from the NIV, this translation. So Luke chapter 4. One of the Gospels in the New Testament. So Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." No small task, hey? And then it continues. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. There were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. I was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So, mission like Jesus, is that what he calls us to do? Let's look at two main points this morning. We're anointed and sent, and we'll be accepted and rejected. And we're hopefully going to see that we can confidently proclaim the good news to the poor, like Jesus did, regardless of the response we receive. And therefore, whether we're accepted or rejected, it's okay, because it's God's mission, not ours. So look at this first point. We're anointed and sent, and Jesus is revealed to be the anointed one. And in Luke chapter 4:18, we read that, didn't we? That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That Jesus is anointed, the one that is set aside for a task, set aside and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. in last week's message, Eric was saying how the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And then he, full of the Spirit, left the wilderness and began ministering around in Nazareth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus is reading from this passage from Isaiah chapter 61 and 58 and claiming that the Spirit of the Lord is on him. And it is in this power that he ministers. It's in this power that he serves. It's not something that he has added to himself. This is something that we read in the chapter before of Jesus' baptism. And the Spirit came upon him like a dove descending upon him. So Jesus is recognized as the anointed one, God's son, with whom he is well pleased. And therefore, his blessing and anointing is apparent and shown to all. In the Old Testament, prophets and kings and priests and others would have been anointed, set apart for a task that God had for them to do, whether it was leading Israel or speaking God's word to his people. And so in a similar sense, Jesus, at the start of his ministry, is anointed for a task. He is set aside. But more than that, it's connected with his identity as the Son of God, who is the Messiah. The word Messiah, or Christ, which is the Greek version of Messiah, means anointed, set apart one. It means chosen, promised one. And so as a result, at the start of his ministry, Jesus selects this passage from Isaiah. He reads it out and claims it for himself. Today, Jesus says, these words are fulfilled. He's claiming something really significant and grand. This is stating that he is the one that the Old Testament scriptures have been speaking about as being the Messiah, the one that Israel had been waiting for. But the Israelites and those within that synagogue in Nazareth had a very different picture of what the Messiah should be like. They had an understanding that he would be one who would come and save them from the Romans, come and bring liberation and freedom, come and save them from this oppression and set them free from the bondage of the Romans. And so Jesus continues and he speaks and he uses words from the prophets that they'd be very familiar with, saying, I've come to proclaim good news to the poor, to set the prisoners free, to heal the sick and the blind, to restore the captives. This is a message of release and liberation. And that's something that they want to hear. That's something that initially excites them. But what we see is, as Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit, as he is recognized in his role as Messiah, that he has a specific task. And we might think, well, that was Jesus. He was kind of the Son of God, the Messiah. We're not. How do we jump to us today and now? Well, we'll see in a minute a bit how that happens. But mission and the task that Jesus has is one that he passes on to his people, to his church. And we read that in the book of the rest of the book of Luke and the book of Acts as well. As the story unfolds, as Jesus commissions his disciples and says, you will be my witnesses. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so we see that mission is not just for the chosen few. Those few that go over to Tanzania. Those few that go and do really good stuff locally in our community. But actually, all of us are anointed if we're Christians. All of us have the Holy Spirit within us. But the good thing is that it doesn't stop there. We're not just filled with God's Spirit. We're also filled and sent. Sent. So Jesus is the sent one. And as Jesus continues to read those words from Isaiah, we see that his mission, the reason which he came and was sent, was to proclaim good news to the poor in word and deed. A few verses further on in chapter 4, Jesus says this, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So here's Jesus, and at this point in his life, he's suddenly aware that he is God's son. He's been blessed with the Spirit through the baptism. That's been so evident. And his ministry is ahead of him. And he knows from the offset that it's to bring good news to the poor, to speak of the kingdom of God, and to fulfill his task for God. I wonder whether you guys can think back to your school days, or those of you at school at the moment. It was fantastic this week, wasn't it, to actually have snow. I think it's the second time since I've been in Kent that we've had snow. The first time, four or so years ago, was amazing downfall of snow. Really good. We had to do snow church and all sorts of things. It was fantastic. And just this last week, to have 3 hours of snowfall and suddenly everyone's talking about it and it feels like there's some national crisis. Anyway, a few days on, we've survived, haven't we? And we're here, and the snow's gone. It's kind of British weather for us. But I remember being a child in a school, and also as a teacher when I was teaching in school, and waiting on those snow days. And you've gone into school. The school's not been shut, sadly, but things change. When there's snow, things change. And waiting, knowing that the day would be shorter, you'd be sent home early in case people would slip on the way home, in case there'd be an accident on the school grounds. And normally what would happen is that one of the teachers would have the job of going and giving the good news to all the classes. You're now free to go, and it's half an hour early. And just the jubilation, the joy in the classroom is just amazing. I once had that role when I was a teacher. I had the role of going and giving the good news to the classes. And you know what? I couldn't just go to a few classes and give that news and say, come on, let's celebrate this, let's have fun, let's go and have a snowball fight. My task was to go to all the classes. Otherwise, I would not have been a particularly popular teacher. So I didn't just go to the class that was called Nazareth. I went to the class in Capernaum and to all across the area of Galilee. And we see Jesus here saying, I must proclaim the good news, the kingdom of God, to the other towns as well. But beyond that, beyond to the Jews, also to the Gentiles, to those that you don't expect to be receiving this good news. And Jesus knew early on that he had a message, a mission from God for the people of Israel, and he was fixed on achieving that. And so mission is not just for a chosen few, it's not just for over there, it kind of happens right here. And so we as Christians, we as Barton Church, are all sent on mission. We're all sent out by God to fulfill the task that he's given us. And that happens on a Sunday as kids' church is happening, and as we're welcoming people and as we're talking and praying about mission and encouraging one another so that we're effective during the week on our front lines. It happens as we get involved in our local community, our neighbourhood, inviting people over because it's New Year, and we'll do it not just at Christmas for some mulled wine, but we'll do it because we want to build relationships and build relationships so that we can invite people to church, but also have conversations with our neighbours about the good news of Jesus. And we get involved nationally and internationally. And so mission is something that we all can take ownership of because we've all been given that task by God. Now, Jesus, amazingly, had this focus, didn't he, that was very clear. And it kind of ruffles the feathers of us in our church. His focus was to proclaim good news to the poor. And sometimes I know that I find it a lot easier to proclaim good news to those like me, those with similar interests, middle class, sporty individuals. You know, I can kind of connect there. How do I take good news to those that are maybe more unlike me or different, those marginalized on the edges of society, those struggling, those lonely and poor in spirit, not just economically, those poor in status? And so Jesus models something for us throughout the gospel that says, God loves all. I have come to bring good news to all. And he does that, doesn't he, by saying, I will bring freedom to the oppressed. I will bring sight to the blind. And actually, that whole message is about release. And I'll proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which was language of Jubilee from the Old Testament. And so Jesus' message is, look, this is about word and deed. I proclaim good news, but that isn't just speaking the message of forgiveness. It's also showing it through the way I care for the whole person, the way that I meet human need. It's fantastic this last week to get a kind of last minute email from Rebecca Halls, one of our members here, saying she had an opportunity to head across to Dunkirk with a van of bag of clothes and things for women and babies and provide for those that are struggling in Dunkirk with the refugee crisis. And to see people rallying around and quickly, just in a few hours, filling the van full so that she could make the most of the journey, meeting human need right on our doorstep. And Jesus shows this throughout the gospel. How can we engage in that ourselves? How can we be people that understand the good news for the soul? Yes, that people would know forgiveness of sins, but that's also caring for people and the whole person that they are. The whole gospel to the whole person across the whole world. What a mission that's before us. It's a big task, isn't it? And the great thing is that it's not just about us and our ability to do stuff. Because don't forget, we are anointed and sent. So when we feel the task is too big, it's unachievable, how can we do it? What difference can we make? It's okay. God's given us his spirit and he's sent us out in his power and with his authority. Wow. Suddenly, the situation feels a bit different. So what's the effect? The reality is we'll be accepted, but also we'll face rejection sometimes as well. And Jesus is shown to be the accepted prophet. In verse 14, he goes around Nazareth and people praise him and glorify him. They receive his teaching. They see him healing and ministering. And he's well received. He's well received in Galilee. And it's great, isn't it, when we see stories of God working and bringing salvation to people and seeing positive impact around the world as Christians live out this mission. I was reading earlier this week, somewhere like South Korea, back in 100 years ago, there wasn't a single church in Seoul, the capital. Today, it boasts 7 of the largest 10 churches in the world. There's been great movement of the gospel in South Korea. It's now the second largest mission sending country in the world. Sadly, things are beginning to be a bit on decline in South Korea, but they've had a period, a season of fruitfulness and of God bringing salvation and transformation. Other places like Nepal are seeing incredible things happening, and think of Iranians around the world coming to faith and coming to follow Jesus. Jesus's mission was well received. As we go out and share the gospel, it is well received by some. There is fruit, and we need to thank God for that. We need to thank God because it gives great glory to him. But the reality is, the heart of Jesus' experience in Nazareth, his hometown, was not acceptance of his message, that he was the Messiah that would take the good news to the poor and even to those that were not Jewish. It was rejection. Jesus was rejected. And so here he is in his hometown where he's grown up and the people around him that should get behind him and support him and be his prayer partners and his co-mission workers end up being those that drive him to a cliff edge. But in God's power and sovereignty, he walks through the crowd in some sort of miraculous form so that he doesn't die before his time is right. See, Jesus' ministry is rejected, and rejection's really hard. Jesus, in the surrounding area of Galilee, was largely well received. As soon as he headed towards Jerusalem, we know that he faced more opposition from the Jewish leaders before then being betrayed and crucified on a cross. He experienced rejection. And that's something that we experience sometimes. The gospel doesn't all, just if you proclaim the truth of who Jesus is to someone, if you share your life with them and show them what it means to be forgiving and gracious and that Jesus can deal with sin and brokenness, people don't always receive that well. Sometimes they say, it's not for me. Fine for you, but I'm not interested. And it can be hard, can't it? It can be hard to feel rejected. And mission isn't easy. God does not guarantee that. In fact, he says it will be hard. There will be suffering. But in spite of that, like Jesus, we don't change our mission. We don't change the message. We continue because our task is to proclaim the message, live out what it is to be a disciple, to engage in mission all around us and be people and a church that seek to do that. We hold on to the message and our mission. We might change our methods, the way we do things, but we don't change the message. And that's an important challenge for us, because what it does is it makes us more like Jesus. Jesus, the one who was rejected. Jesus, the one who faced opposition and challenges. And they come in various forms for us, don't they? And they did for Jesus too. Actually, the very fact that sometimes people say, no, I don't want to follow your Jesus. No, I don't want to receive your charity. I don't want to kind of be with you if that's what you think and what you want to follow. Actually, that makes us more like him as we realize it's not about how the world receives us, how our friends speak about us, because our identity is in God. We are anointed and sent and loved and forgiven. And so it's him that we serve, not other people. So maybe a challenge for us is if you feel, well, Oz, it's all very well. Here we go again. New year. Same old sermon. We need to be sharing the message of Jesus with others. We need to be serving in the community. We need to be doing all this stuff. And yeah, I get that. On one level, we know it. We read it in our Bibles. We talk about it and pray about it. Maybe you're going to be praying about it this week. I hope so. But how is it different? Well, take encouragement this morning that we receive, when we receive rejection, when we receive kind of a situation where people say, I just don't want that. I don't want to know. Actually, that in itself is a part of God's plan for shaping us to be more like him. And in itself brings glory to God through those challenges. So we can be confident because we're anointed and sent, just like Jesus at the start of his ministry knew. If you're sat here this morning following Jesus as your Savior, having received the Holy Spirit, you've been anointed and set apart for a purpose to, with God, bring about his purposes. That's just fascinating. It's mind-blowing that God would use us, ordinary people, weak people, sinful people who mess up and are a bit shy at times at sharing the good news. He chooses to work through us and send us out. So let's come back to knowing who we are in God's sight and that it's his mission, not ours. We're joining what he's doing in this world of need. The good news is for troubled people, and we're troubled people. We need it ourselves. And as we receive it ourselves, we can share it with others. I nearly brought a mirror in this morning, but I forgot in the kind of rush of the morning. And often we think that the people that really do mission are those, like I said earlier, that get sent out or get commissioned at the front here or you know, those interns, they're really holy. They even lead services and they do a great job. But actually, imagine a mirror up the front here, or get your phone out. You're allowed to get your phone out now and take a selfie of yourself, okay? If you want, put that as your home screen on your phone for the week. And every time you turn your phone on, remind yourself, I am anointed and sent out by God for a mission of sharing who he is by being and living out what it is to be a Christian this week. As I just go to work and pick up the kids from school, and as I meet up with friends for coffee, as I have my lunch break, as I speak to my grandparents on the phone, I'm there. I can be used to speak words of truth and love and hope and forgiveness to bring good news to the poor. We're all poor. We all need it. So take a selfie today. Get your phone out. Take one and remind yourself. Mission isn't just about over there, elsewhere. It's here. It's you. Get involved. But also, when you face rejection, when you feel like people don't receive the message that you so want to share, that actually that's okay. Jesus says it's going to happen. If the world hated me, it's going to hate you. The cross before me, the world behind me. Actually, we're called to live a life of challenge and cost and suffering. But we get to do it with one another. So let's not be downbeat and downcast. We're a church that can love and support and pray for one another in this task. So how can you get stuck into God's mission this year? That's a huge question. Maybe you're already doing it. Great, carry on. Maybe you're here thinking, actually, it's about time I took this more seriously and I need to get plugged into something, a local charity, an opportunity to serve in church, a kind of prayer network for the persecuted church or some sort of other agency. I don't know, whatever it might be. But why not think about Sundays? Think about your midweek, your front line. Think about the community and the world. How can you engage with what God has anointed and sent you out to do? And maybe this week, it's the week of prayer for us as a church. Be praying specifically about this. Let's not just pray the prayers that we so often go to about our health and our comfort and about all the little things in life. Yes, God cares for those, but why not pray some big prayers, some important prayers about proclaiming good news to the poor this year, about showing that in word and in deed, about knowing our identity is filled with the Spirit to be sent out to make disciples of the nations. Let's take a moment now. We're just going to move into some response in song and in prayer. Just pause as I pray and think about what you can pray for. Maybe you want to use the post-it note to write something down and stick it on the cross in the corner, the prayer area. Feel free to do that. But let me pray for us all now. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that you sent your Son, Jesus, the Messiah. You sent him, you anointed him, you set him apart for the greatest mission ever, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, to die a death on the cross that would bring salvation to many. And Lord, we thank you that we've come to know that ourselves. And I pray that we, as we are aware that you've filled us with your Holy Spirit, would be so ready to be sent out to where you've put us, the mission field of the workplace, of the home, of the neighborhood, of the community, to be speakers of truth and hope and forgiveness, to be people that stand up against injustice, to be people seeking to shape culture and make it more godly and Christ-like. Help us to know how to do that as individuals. Help us to know how to do that as a church. Sometimes it feels like we do so little in our local area, how we shy away from the poor, the marginalized, the hurting. I pray that you'd help us to get on with the task that you've given us. Not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit, just as Jesus did. How we need you, how we ask that you'd fill us now and send us out for what is ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.